Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to our meeting this evening. Invocation will be done by yours truly. If you would please stand with us, and Councilmember Beck will do the flag salute. Please remain standing. Councilmember Beck? I'm sorry, that's me, right? I do the invocation.
I'll try.
Please bow with me. Lord in heaven, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for business at hand. Lord, we ask that you would be in our midst and help us with direction, guidance. Allow us, Lord, to make decisions that are pleasing to you. And Father, that they fit with what's taking place in our community. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come together and take care of the business. And Lord, to know exactly the direction that you are taking us. We thank you for this evening and all that will take place in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Please join the council and salute our nation's flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Councilmember Beck.
Here.
Councilmember Betancourt.
Here.
Councilmember Beck.
Here.
Councilmember Salino.
Here.
Mayor Pignon.
Here. Are there any additions or deletions to the agenda?
There are none from staff, Mayor.
Okay, I make a motion to approve.
Second.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Mayor Pignon?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Fast?
Yes.
Councilmember Salino?
Yes.
Public comment. Public provides an opportunity for members of the public to address the City Council on items of interest to the public within the council's jurisdiction and which are not already on the agenda this evening. It is a policy of the council not to answer questions impromptu. Concerns or complaints will be referred to the city manager's office. Speakers should limit their comments to not more than 3 minutes. No more than 10 minutes per issue will be allowed. For items which are on the agenda this evening, members of the public will be provided an opportunity to address the council as each item is brought up for discussion. Are there any questions or comments from the public? Very good, we move on, so there are none. Consent agenda. Consent agenda items are considered routine in nature and voted upon as one item. Under a consent agenda category, a recommended course of action for each item is made. Any council member may remove any item from the consent agenda in order to discuss and or change the recommended course of action, and the council can approve the remainder of the consent agenda. A council member's vote in favor of the consent agenda is considered and recorded as a separate affirmative vote in favor of each action listed. Motions in favor of the consent agenda are deemed to include a motion to waive the full reading of any ordinance on the consent agenda. For adoptions and ordinances, only those that have received a unanimous vote upon introduction are considered consent agenda items. Are there any items the council wishes to remove?
I'd like to remove item 3.
Motion to approve the remaining items.
Second.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Fast?
Yes.
Councilmember Salino?
Yes.
Mayor Pignon?
Yes. Item 3, adopt resolution 2020-004 of the City of Reedley supporting and implementing timely use of funds as required by AB 1012 and authorizing to apply for congestion mitigation air quality funding. Engineering, Mary Lou.
Okay.
You're on.
I'm Mary Lou Morales, city engineer. Is there any questions that I can answer regarding this agenda item?
I just have a comment this evening. It looks like we're going to be working on the alleyways.
Yes.
And I was wondering if there's a way we can end the garbage fee that we're charging to our people for fixing alleys and doing work on our streets.
So I should probably chime in rather than Mary Lou, because she's not real familiar with what we call the VIF, the vehicle impact fee.
Okay.
But certainly that is something that, you know, we vote on every single year, and so in budget time, we can revisit or will revisit that again.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are there any other questions?
Mary Lou, I know you're new to the staff, and
yes,
we appreciate you being here. After reading it a couple of times, one of the questions is, can anybody remember when the last time we've done this kind of work on alleys?
Never.
I remember years ago we did a couple of them, but it's, that goes back quite a few years.
Yeah, I think the last year, this past year, we used some of the VIF funding to do some overlays in the downtown, but
right,
you're absolutely right. That's been years that we hadn't touched them. These particular funds, we are thrilled to see that they're available, because we didn't know how we could fund our very, very poor alleys, because we have to completely take them down to base and build them back up again.
Exactly.
So you're right, it has been decades.
And when we do that, we're going to have a lot of people saying, when is my alley going to be done?
Yeah.
Yes.
We better have some answers for them.
Well, and this is every 2 years. It's a cycle, right, that we do the application project with COG. So definitely hoping to maybe identify more alleys, and if we get this awarded, then, you know, possibly continuing every 2 years, and
good,
that's my goal.
Well, thank you.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Thank
do
you
have a pending list of which alleys are on the list right now?
There are some that the Public Works Department and the garbage maintenance guys have mentioned, so we do have a list, but if there's any that you guys have or recommend, I can definitely look into that. One of the big things with CMAQ is it's congestion mitigation and reducing PM10 particles. So it's more like alleys that are really bad condition, like
yes,
dirt or gravel, as opposed to if they do have some pavement, it's harder to justify. But if the ones that are really bad, we can definitely go after.
Yeah, I figure your guys in the driving the garbage trucks can pretty much tell you which ones.
Yeah, there, exactly. The water meter guys and all that. Yeah. So.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mary Lou, would this include some of the, there's some alleys that have trees and shrubs, and that sometimes, you know, the garbage trucks have problems going through. Does that include removing the tree brush and all that kind of?
If there's any in the actual alley, yeah, that will include it. If there's some, you know, when we have to pave and bring in the big equipment, they might have to trim them. We'll definitely look into that. But there shouldn't be any trees in the alleyway. So if there is, those will be removed and we'll be completely repaving.
Right. Now, I'm thinking more so the ones that are in people's lawns.
Yards.
Is that their responsibility, though, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, we're not supposed to use public funds on private,
gotcha,
property.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Uh-huh. That's where the code enforcement comes in.
Yeah.
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 Any other questions from the council? Public?
Make a motion to approve.
Second.
Councilmember Fast?
Yes.
Councilmember Cellino?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Mayor Pignon?
Yes. We move on to administrative business, number 5. Adopt resolution number 2020-003, amending the fiscal year 2019-20 adopted budget to appropriate $1,000 in the general fund for a donation to the Western Regional Vietnam Veterans Memorial Wall Foundation for a 50% scale replica of the wall in Washington, D.C., located in the city of Dinuba. Admin.
Yeah, and I'll go ahead and take that because Paul went home with the flu. As you know, our last council meeting, we had a wonderful presentation from some ladies representing the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in Dinuba. Mm-hmm. At that time, council did request we come back with either $500 or $1,000, depending on what we could scrape together. So I did request for Paul to just try to come up with the $1,000 if we could. So that's what's in front of you today. Council has the prerogative to adopt the resolution at the $1,000, amend the resolution for less than or more than $1,000, or not adopt the resolution. So the $1,000 is being taken from unallocated general fund, which we normally hold in reserve, but that's where Paul is taking it from for this particular purpose.
Any questions from the council or comments?
No. The only comment I have is this is one project I like to support. We have several of our locals, that are on that wall. This is not a county or city thing. This is a neighborhood, and there's about 8 or 10 of our local guys I know is on that wall from out of Reedley. Yes. And I think this is a way to honor them.
Sure.
Yeah, I agree.
Yes.
I still am a little bit concerned, though, that other cities aren't chipping in, mm-hmm. that it's mainly just us and Dinuba. And that kind of bothers me.
Yeah, I do think Orange Cove and Parlier chipped in the first time. I don't know that they've made rounds the second time. In addition to the cities chipping in a little bit, the wall foundation, which is what they're paying for now, the concrete foundation, will have individual subscriber bricks that can be purchased for $100, so you can inscribe some things. And so if anybody has an interest in helping out personally with that, we can get you that donation form as well. But as far as other cities, it really is just a personal preference. I know that when they came to us the very first time, the council did have quite an interesting discussion as to whether or not this was something that we should mm-hmm. participate in, given that it's in a different city. Mm-hmm. I do think it draws visitors from mm-hmm. around the western
yes.
part of the United States. Whether mm-hmm. or not those visitors are stopping in Reedley and helping our coffers, I couldn't tell you. But I do think it sends a strong message that we do support the Vietnam vets mm-hmm. that are still in our community.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Any other questions or comments from the council? I also support that. I think it's a good idea. As Councilmember Beck has mentioned, it's not a Dinuba or Reedley or it belongs to the people. It belongs to everyone and anyone that supports military. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a good thing for all those involved in military know that we support and appreciate them. Mm-hmm. Do we need any questions from the public, comments from the public? Motion.
Motion.
Second.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Betancourt?
Yes.
Councilmember Fass?
Yes.
Councilmember Salino?
Yes.
Mayor Pinon?
Yes. Very good. We, excuse me, went to workshop. We have a presentation by BMX Airtime. Ms. Hubert, come on.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Oh. Don't have to be so close. Thank you guys for having us. My name is Kristen Hubert. I'm here on behalf of Airtime BMX. This is my mother. My dad would be here. She helps out with the track. My dad actually is the track director. So tonight they're having BMX races, so he could not be here. So we do have a PowerPoint show for you. I'll make it quick, sweet, and to the point. And if you have any questions, we can direct them to my mom afterwards. She knows a little more than I do about all the stuff that the track deals with. So basically, Airtime BMX was established in 1996. It's located between Great Western School and the Reedley Airport. From the start, Mayor Frank Pinon and his wife, Kathy Pinon, donated their time doing the blueprints for the property that's now Reedley Airtime BMX. We are a nonprofit 501c3, and that's our phone number there if you need to reach my dad for any questions about the track. You can also find us on Facebook at Paul Airtime Hubert. So for the 2020 racing season, we do have a Gold Cup, which is a regional race. Actually, let me back up. I'm sorry. I apologize. For the first slide, I have some more information. We are a USA BMX sanctioned track that participates in the UCI Olympics. This is how the riders qualify to be in the actual Olympics games for BMX racing. Reedley Airtime BMX is the oldest standing track that's been operated by the same track director in California. So we do have the longest history out of all the tracks that are throughout California, and there is quite a few tracks. So for 2020, the racing season, we did receive a Gold Cup this year, which is a big race. It's a regional race, and that's going to be on May 16th and May 17th. And Airtime also obtained a state race. The Gold Cup will draw over 350 riders. Ages for BMX starts from, it could even go lower than two. We've seen riders out there that are one. They start on the Strider bike, which I'll go into later in the slides. And my father and other people over 65 still participate and race as well. So the Gold Cup is going to be a two-day event, and it will be bringing people into town, about 1,000 people coming into the city for that weekend. This is just a photo of the state race, so it shows some of the riders. Body D Racing is actually the local BMX team that we have at Airtime, and so it goes from young to old, and also the wives and the husbands that don't participate as well. Like I said before, my dad is 65. This is him racing. He's the one that runs the track out there, and he is state number one rider, and he holds a lot of other titles as well. He's been racing for a long time. This is a group of men's cruiser, which is my dad's age or older. This is the kids having fun racing on Tuesday night. And this is one of the areas that we're focusing on improving, the gate and the starting hill area. We also participate in the Reedley Fiesta. So we have a ramp, and we bring that through so that they can show how they actually jump the ramp and ride on their bicycles with their full gear to show how you would look if you were racing. Like I said before, they start at a really young age. So even sometimes at one, this is Strider riders, so they don't have pedals on the bike, and that's how they first start off. When I was younger and raced, they didn't have this type of setup, so now they do. So it's good for young kids to learn. They can also take these bikes and ride near the sidewalks on the side or whatever and learn their balance in order to get better for the next bicycle with pedals. So they can ride these until they're 5 years old, and then it's required to start doing the ones with the actual pedals. So let me just catch one here real quick. For this year, a retired pro has started a program to keep kids interested in BMX, and it's a six-week program. They set goals, reach goals, are taught how to stay healthy, learn real communication skills while being in a group, and it helps them also develop on an individual level. So there's photos of them there, and then also just breaking off in groups there. And it starts at the beginner level, so this is when kids are first getting introduced to bikes and the basics. This year we're focusing on track improvements, like I said, about the starting hill and the starting gate. Also, anything that we can do, like the starting tower, we're redoing that as well. We've been getting a lot of help from our community since we've now become the 501c3. People are now able to donate either labor or funds. And we just want to thank our current sponsors. A couple of them are up there, right there on the screen, Yanez Construction and Quality Auto Repair. Currently, we're remodeling the starting hill and the gate, like I told you guys before. We've had a great group of volunteers locally from the track that are actually putting in the labor and the time. We've also had some other donations. We'd like to thank Yanez Construction for supplies and also funds, and they're an ongoing sponsor that's helped us before as well, besides just this year. With this year's improvements, though, 2020, Hubert Farms has donated the materials and construction for the new gate for our starting hill. Van G Logistics has helped donate the industrial container that has been placed on the side of the new starting hill there. It's support for the foundation. That container will be used to store the BMX bikes and also supplies for the BMX track. So we just wanted to give you guys an update on what we're doing. And I know it's not on there, but it's okay. But we just wanted to give you an update on what we're doing. We can also always use help with any people that would like to donate their time, either helping build stuff or, for example, we're doing concrete like the foundation and so forth. And then any donations or anything that people from the city can donate or are interested in donating, and then bikes as well. So anything basically to help the kids out, to get them started, or to help basically the stuff that's going on there at the track. And do you guys have any questions?
Great. Do you have any questions, Council?
I have a couple of questions. Mm-hmm. So do the kids buy their own bikes, and are there certain kind of bikes? Are they different from the bikes that I would buy, like, to ride on the trail?
They are different. They have skinnier tires than most bikes you see on the street. We have purchased bikes, me and my husband, to have there as loaner bikes.
Okay.
We have about 20 bikes that we can loan out. They go from the real small ones all the way up to the grown adults. We have about 15 helmets that we also loan out. Some tracks charge to use them. We haven't really done that. We just loan them. And we try to lead them in the direction of eventually getting their own bike.
And then you talked about a camp that you're going to have this summer, I'm presuming?
Actually, we have it in about 3 weeks.
Oh.
That's why we're trying to finish our improvements.
We're trying to finish our improvements, but okay. What we're going to do is our starting hill is going to be under construction probably for the first 2 weeks of that. But this is a beginner program, and a lot of the kids are afraid of the gate because it does make a loud bang. We're going to start them off on other parts of the track before we introduce them into the starting hill. So,
but it's starting soon.
Yeah, it starts, I believe, the end of February.
Okay.
So
it's like on Saturdays, is that?
It is on Saturdays, and it's for 6 weeks, and Donnie Robinson is the person promoting it and doing all that.
That's great.
So,
you know, your program has grown quite a bit. And you were just saying that you attract like 1,000 people?
Yeah.
We're going to have over 1,000. I've already booked 50 rooms in Dinuba. I've already guaranteed 25 to Reedley. I could fill up all three motels with as many people as we're going to have. I'm also going to be going to the restaurants in Reedley, asking for $50 to be put on a program that we're going to hand out to everybody that comes in.
That's good.
So that we tell them where to go eat.
Yeah.
So that,
it's a small town. So
yeah.
It's good to know.
And I'm going to try to do two of every different type, like two pizza, two burger, two, you know, sit down, two Mexican restaurants, so that that way people know these are places we're saying go to.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And you were saying that you help house people out of town?
We have to.
Right.
We're going to have so many people, we can't put them all here.
And that's the reason I was asking the question, because we've needed a hotel in this community.
Yes.
One or two hotels. Because once that sports park is developed, you're going to have so many programs that's going to attract people from outside.
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
There's at least 2 to 3 times a year we could easily book.
Oh, exactly.
Reedley. Well, normally we don't have our state race
and
at the same time
as
our Gold Cup.
Right,
we
right.
have them 2 separate times. Mm-hmm. So this year we put them both together on the same weekend. We'll draw more people at one time. Mm-hmm. So that's why. And then we have a 4-star series that usually most everybody stays at Edgewater. And it gets booked.
Yeah. Well, hopefully this city can bring in a hotel in the future as soon as possible so that we can help your program and other programs that attract a lot of people for different types of programs.
If we do something like that, I won't even advertise at other cities. I'll put it all here because
right.
I...
Well, and the track is out that direction,
right.
So no one really wants to drive from Dinuba,
right.
To be honest.
Mm-hmm.
It's closer right here.
Right.
Oh, exactly.
Or in town, wherever.
Mm-hmm.
Because I ran programs for years that we didn't have the ability to house people that came in to read for 3 or 4 days.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And we've lost a lot of revenue because of that.
Well, I'm trying to keep it here.
Locally.
Lived here all my life.
We also are trying. So. Mm-hmm. Hopefully someday. Thank you.
Let's set the goal. 2 years is my goal.
I just want to say thank you and your family for what you do for our youth. Mm-hmm. You have been doing this a long time, and it means a lot to our community. Mm-hmm. And I always look forward to seeing you guys at the parade, and because I love watching the little ones. Mm-hmm. And I've seen them take spills,
be right back up
and going again.
Yeah.
So I just really want to thank you for what you guys have done.
Oh, okay. You're welcome. Thank you. My husband loves it.
Oh, nice. Any other comments or questions from the...
No, same thing. You know, it's good for our kids. It keeps them busy. And
that's why my husband started this. As a child, he was a bit of a hellion, you can ask Bob. And if he had something to focus and show him, you can ask Frank. My husband's taken a couple of kids and mentored them. And that's why
More
he does
couple.
It. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's why he does
this
it.
This is his passion. This is what he does.
Right.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have to share a brief story. There was a youngster that he was getting into trouble, and I got together with Paul and talked about the possibility of mentoring him. And through the track, through the bike, and somehow we were able to get this kid interested in riding a bike, and it got him out of what he was starting to get into. And I'll tell you, a great tool to capture kids before they get caught by the other side. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate what you're doing, and I wish there was a way that we could help you. I'm sure sometime in the future there will be. I'm glad that you have your 501c3 mm-hmm. status. That's going to help, I think, quite mm-hmm. a bit. If there's any grants available, especially with you working with the youth, I think from this point on, I think you're just going to be climbing. So thank you for what you do, and mm-hmm. appreciate that.
Thank you for having us.
Any other questions, comments?
Council, I would want to just let you know something that we all need to keep our eyes on and really fight for. At the last council meeting, you did approve the agreement, the lease agreement, and that's something that Sarah and I kind of put our heads together, and because it's FAA or airport property, we mm-hmm. have to abide by certain FAA regulations, and this is something that, you know, when the lease comes up, we're nervous all the time because at any given point in time, you know, the FAA requires market leases, and Sarah did her best to find all of the low-cost leases she could on airport properties around us. So that's why you see some of those provisions in there that we aren't necessarily really, you know, the CPI escalators, the increases, we know that puts a burden on the track, and unfortunately, some of those things are required by FAA. So this is something where we really need to keep our eyes peeled on what the FAA does so that we can keep this great asset
sure,
in
yes.
Reedley.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yes. I agree. Very good. Any other questions?
No. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Item seven. Receipt, review, and file 2018-19 audited city financial statements.
And that's a receive and file there?
It's just on file, right?
Yes.
We go to council reports. Council Member Salerno, do you have any reports?
The only one was the presentation at Jefferson School about the electric planes, and that was a great presentation by the city manager. So mm-hmm. looking forward to more progress in the future. And
thank you.
I think there's a big benefit that's going to take place. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you. Councilmember Vindicott?
My sister-in-law lives in Stockton, and she called my husband. She was so excited. She just happened to be watching it on CBS, and she got so excited because she says, oh, that's Reedley. And anyway, she was real excited. So good. I'm sure a lot of other people got excited too with that. I know we did. It was, yeah. It was, and you did a wonderful job.
Thank
you. Did.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for all that you did. Thank you. Also, just before, the League of Cities is having a meeting this Thursday, huh?
Mm-hmm. They are.
So, yeah, on the census, and we're all going? I mean, are we?
The three
just
of us.
One,
are,
oh,
yeah.
Okay. Okay. So I just want to make sure I didn't miss it. And then one other thing, had a parent ask me about the water bill. Did the date get changed when they paid the water bill?
Mm-hmm. Okay. But there is a 60-day grace period.
Okay.
And so we did send out word in the utility bills. We also sent a newsletter article out. There was some discussion on Nextdoor, the app, about that, because people were saying we didn't know, and other people were chiming in, hey, you need to start reading your utility bill because it was in there. And what I found interesting is there's a couple people who are continually on our shutoff list who were very upset about it. So it's in relation to SB 998. The water-related bills, why the date got changed. But even though the date got changed, we didn't want to harm our families, so there's a 60-day grace period for paying that bill.
Okay.
Yeah.
I told you, are you sure that I forgot about the date being changed. I don't know if we even talked. But he says, she said, there was a letter out, but you know, some of us, we don't even read it. And I go, I'm Maria, you're supposed to read those things. I sent them out to you. You know? Hi.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's it.
Thank you. Council Member Beck?
The only thing I have is I was at the COG meeting, pretty much routine. There is an update. Former Mayor Silva is not doing real well.
Okay.
And so he's he had a stroke and he's not doing too well. But update on 180, I don't know if you're aware of it, but it converted over. We are now traveling on 180, part of it.
Yeah.
So they're trying to finish up on that. So, and that's still a little behind schedule, but they said it's strictly due to weather.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're figuring sometime this summer, I believe, that should be completed.
That's good.
That's all I have, Mayor.
Thank you. Mayor Pro Tem Fass?
Yes. I went to the Boeing presentation at Jefferson School, or should I say our city manager's presentation of the program that's coordinating the school, the grammar school, and also at the college. And I appreciate your ability to coordinate all of that and put that together. And I'm hoping soon we'll start training some pilots from Reedley to learn how to actually fly those airplanes that we bought so that we get that going. Also attended the Blossom Trail opening at Cecilia Packing, and they had kind of a unique poster that they do every year, and this one's kind of unique, so I bought one actually to put in your office. I'm working on getting it framed.
Oh, okay, nice.
So anyway, it was a nice morning, and the Blossom Trail brings a lot of people to our area, and I think it's real important to support.
You're talking about training pilots, those kids that were working that machine, my goodness.
I think
the mayor was even impressed.
I was impressed with how the mayor was doing on the machine. So.
I was not doing so well.
I said I would fly with the kids, but not the mayor. Sorry.
Well, I'd take a couple of lessons. Oh, well, what can I say?
All in jest. I'm just teasing you.
Anything else? Anything more?
No, that's all.
Thank you. I attended the Central Valley Transportation meeting. Russ and I, right now we're meeting only once a year since there's nothing going on. There's no projects that we're working on. So we just plan on meeting once a year until something comes up, and we're hoping that something will real soon. I also attended a graduating class from Proteus. That was fun. It was a small class. There was like 9 young adults that graduated, very excited. So that was a lot of fun and rewarding for me. Also was at the Jefferson School. City manager did a great job. By the way, I forwarded an email I got from Mayor Martin from Paso Robles. He wants to talk to us about what's going on.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's exciting to hear people from far away to hear what little Reedley is doing.
Mm-hmm.
So,
good
job.
Good
job.
Good.
it's about an hour away, isn't it? Or less in a flight?
Well, yeah. Oh, with flight, yeah, definitely.
He said he would like to fly in and talk to us as to what,
excellent,
how we can collaborate. So
that's good.
Wonderful. Also met with Genesis Lopez. She's with vaping. Okay. You know, she's working with a vaping epidemic that's taking place, running rampant. That was pretty informational for me. It was great to meet with her about that. Other than that, I'm enjoying the weather. City Manager, do you have some reports to share?
Just a couple things. You know, one of the really exciting things during that press conference we had at Jefferson with the Boeing folks is one of Severin, you all were there, Severin, the African-American gentleman from Africa, from Cameroon, rather, was standing next to me and looked at his phone and let out this little celebratory yell, and I said, what in the world? And he said, I just got an email from the senior VP of Boeing, that's the guy right under the CEO, saw the news story, is completely excited, and everybody at the C-suite, meaning at the top of Boeing Corporation, is talking about, where is this Reedley and what is going on with Reedley? So it's kind of neat to know we went all the way up the chain in a big corporation like that. Our goal, though, is not to let the momentum stop. So really the idea is we don't want to just have this nice news article that went really, honestly, worldwide, and I'll tell you in a minute about that, but we want to monetize it for the city. We want to lift our economy and lift our families. And so the EDC is helping Dr. Buckley and I next week or the week after structure a strategic plan to take advantage of all of the interest we have received. So I've had people reach out from the Pentagon. I've had people reach out from the Washington area. I've had people reach out from aeronautics companies, even one in England. There's a company down in Los Angeles that wants to meet with us. So the goal is not to just have this nice press, but to actually do something with it. And so I'm very thankful that the EDC has recognized that, you know, at first we were the crazy city to buy the electric planes and nobody was really paying attention, and now everybody is paying attention. So we don't want the momentum to stop, and I know that as you're out in the community and people are talking about, hey, that's a nice news story, but what now? Well, there needs to be a next step. And so as we develop that plan, we'll keep you posted on that.
Right.
As we move that forward.
Thank you.
The other thing, which is not as nice or pleasant, but this is why we need to work on good strategic planning, is in this month's Western City Magazine, you all get this from the League of California Cities, there was a very interesting article on using drones for policing, but that's really not what I want to bring to your attention. What I wanted to bring to your attention, there's an article about what cities need to know about the organics mandate that's coming into play. And that is all food, beverage, those types of things, organics, will need to be recycled. For cities like ours that do our own solid waste collection, we are one of the few remaining cities in our area that does our own solid waste collection. It is going to be very tough for us. There aren't a lot of locations to take the organics once we pick them up from the community. And one of the things I wanted to point out was in this article, it even stated that local governments will likely need to increase rates and amend agreements with collection service providers. So the reason I bring this up is this is coming from the League, where they're almost expecting us to just go ahead and raise rates. This is a good example for the community of why Measure B is so important, because these sorts of things are coming down from the state with the assumption that we'll simply pass all of this on to our consumers. So an interesting article, if you still have your Western City Magazine, or if you don't, I'd love to make a copy for you, because it's an interesting article for us as city leaders. So
the one I was looking at was Kerman does it, and it would be nice just to kind of follow up on how things are going for them for this program.
Yeah. I think one of the things that was interesting to me is that Kerman uses a private contractor, Mid-Valley.
Oh, right.
And so Dinuba uses a private contractor. I think really locally it's Reedley, Hanford, half of Fresno, and one other, and I'm not remembering which one, but it's a very, very short list of cities now that still do their own solid waste collection.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
We talked about that not too long ago, having to have another container, right?
Yes, we've talked about it. We haven't settled on what we need to do, but my guess is that it will have to be a third container because we won't want to commingle. We won't want to mix. So it's a struggle, and right now there are
aren't really a lot of facilities where these organics can be taken to. So we contract with Kochergan Farms for most of our green waste. They've done a wonderful job for the city. I don't know that they have the capacity and capability to take on an entire city's food waste as well, though. So Russ has been working feverishly on this for about a year, to the point where he has pissed off Cal Recycle, which I said, hey, Russ, you go for it. Go, you know, you go do what you need to do. So we will keep you posted as we roll along with the solution here. So.
Question is, why the state makes it a mandate, but they have no way to take care of the waste that they're demanding that we get rid of?
We set aside. Yeah.
And so what are we supposed to do? It's kind of like back in the day when they wouldn't allow you to throw a fluorescent bulb into the container, but they didn't have a way to dispose of it.
Yes.
So it's typical state, and I think it's time we start looking at the state in a different light. I really think we need to look at the League of Cities and even look at maybe an alternative to the League of Cities, because we don't seem to be getting our bang from our buck from the League. And I really believe it's time that we start fighting the state regarding some of these mandates. Mm-hmm. It's costing our citizens. Every time we turn around, it costs them. Mm-hmm. And all they're doing is passing the cost down to the public.
Yes.
And the first person that gets hit is us, because we raise the rates.
Yeah.
And it's the state has come up with these mandates, and we have no way of saying no.
So Mr. Beck and I had a conversation, and what I had mentioned as the reason the League is not getting involved in a lot of these things is because a lot of these things are actually coming from cities, and so they would be pitting one city against another. The organics recycling, San Francisco has been doing this for quite some time and was actually trying to push this for other cities. The water bill issues of not being able to do shutoffs, that came from the city of Los Angeles. The code enforcement issues of allowing vendors on the streets and not being able to go after them for citations, that came from the city of Los Angeles. So you have things that are coming down from cities that are actually being proposed by other cities, and that's why the League is not getting involved, hence Mr. Beck's comment about we might need to find a different alternative than the League at some point in time. So it's a tough battle to fight, because the League is pretty powerful. So
well, and who rules the League? The big cities. They do have a little bit of rural representation, but that's why I like to go and just keep hearing what's going on, because of that. If you were not involved as little cities, we will just continue to be eaten up.
Yeah, I think big cities and the Bay Area cities that have so much money, they don't know what to do.
I loved your idea of forming a rural city league.
Well, shoot, I shouldn't have said that out loud, because now I might have to go do it.
Yeah,
so.
I'm going to put you to work again.
Can we make a motion?
So we will keep you posted on that, but I did want to point that article out, because it was sort of buried in the magazine. So yeah. And Mayor, that is all I have. Police Chief has something for you.
Good evening. I know you like a short meeting, so I'll keep this to about 8:30-ish or so. So just kidding. Just a couple of items I wanted to mention. Tomorrow we do have a swearing in for a new police officer at 3:00 here at the chamber or council room. I know the timing is off, but we have some other promotional assessment centers going on in the morning, so we had to push it into the afternoon. On the 25th is we're going to be that is the Javier Behar Memorial Flag Lowering Ceremony. This will be the 10-year anniversary of his passing. So we will be having our the annual flag lowering ceremony out in front of the police department. But the one of the things that we are doing different this year is that the family has asked if they could have a blood drive in his honor on that day. So we are going to be having a blood draw. So I'll have Sylvia. I don't know if you have any spare blood to give, but if you have any friends or family that is willing to come, the blood bank will be having their van here in the parking lot. We'll have it in the parking lot at the annex right next to the police department. Unfortunately, they only have 2 beds available, so you got to kind of almost make an appointment. And if you are interested, you can contact Cindy at the police department, and she can get you on a schedule for that. So that will be happening shortly after the conclusion of the flag lowering ceremony. On the February 26th, we will be having our second Coffee with a Cop, and we'll be over at the Starbucks. So we'll be, and it'll be in the evening, because there's a college class that wants to come in, interact with the police department, one of the law enforcement classes. So several of myself and several of the police staff will be there to interact with these kids, but it's pretty much open to the public as well. So that's another date, February 26th.
What time is that, Chief?
It's at 6 o'clock. We'll be starting at 6. You know, a lot of coffee, so people probably will not be sleeping that evening, apparently, so who knows. One other thing, too, in February is Teen Violence or Teen Dating Violence Month. It's Awareness Month. It's a through Marjorie Mason and through some of the other organizations that that want to put a stop to all the violence when it comes to teen dating. Statistics show that one out of three teens is affected by teen violence. Teen dating violence, and statistics show that women, or that there is a domestic violence victim every 9 seconds and throughout the United States. It's staggering, and it's just one of those things that this is the month that we really want to bring acknowledgement to that and say, you know what, we need to stop the violence. We need to make people aware. And with that being said, we are going to be working with the Marjorie Mason Center this next month in March to establish or to have a kind of a forum, I guess you would say, an opportunity so we can talk about domestic violence and what that is causing to our communities. And so we will be having two separate meetings, one in English and one in Spanish, because obviously, you know, domestic violence does not stop in one, you know, from you know, the language, there's not a language barrier there. So we will be addressing both. So that is something that we really want to do is to bring to light the violence that is happening in our communities and, you know, and hopefully bring a stop to it. So that information will be coming out if you'd like to come out, if you'd like to participate, just to be there. I think it'll be really good for our community to hear some of that information. So we're just looking forward to a lot of different things that we can interact with our community and just help bring awareness to certain things. So that's all I wanted to bring up. So thank you.
Any questions from the council?
No.
Questions from the public? I think we are done this evening, right?
Yes.
With this, that adjourns our meeting. Thank you all. Have a good night.
Thank you, Mayor.
And we'll see you next time.